You will hear a scientist called Jim Weller giving a talk about some robots he has created and how they function like insects called termites. For questions 7 to 14, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase. You now have 45 seconds to look at part 2.
Hi, I'm Jim, and together with colleagues, I've been attempting to create a group of robots that build things in the same impressive way that termites do. Termites are like large ants and build amazingly complex structures called mounds to live in. Unlike bees, termites don't receive instructions from their queen about what to do. In fact, a single worker doesn't know what the other termites are doing or what the current overall state of the mound looks like. This tells us that large numbers of units working independently can, paradoxically, build complicated large-scale things together. So, we decided to make and program what I like to call a colony of robots. Now, by giving the robots a picture of what we want them to build, and it doesn't matter how many of them there are or which robot does what, they do indeed end up building what they're asked for. The robots and termites both have very restricted sensing. A single unit can only tell what's going on right around itself. It's the same with communicating. Rather than communicating with one another directly, termites make alterations to their shared environment and others respond. One deposits some soil, for example, or half-eaten wood. Another one comes along later, and on seeing this, a reaction is triggered. We observed this and devised a similar system with the robots. Like termites, the robots often make errors. For example, trying to pick up a brick and failing. Rather than trying to prevent those errors, we give them enough feedback to help with the recognition and correction process, so they try again until they get it right. So they keep patrolling the structure, fixing only what needs fixing. I've demonstrated this in action several times in public presentations with one of our robots. It had to try to complete the structure I asked it to, in this case a staircase, and there was a block missing at the top. So it had to try and pick up building material from the loading area and walk up the structure until it discovered exactly what needed attention. In the long term, one day robots like this could build for us in inaccessible or dangerous settings, such as underwater or on Mars. In the shorter term, the same principle applies. So, for instance, if you wanted to position sandbags to protect against rising flood water or build in difficult Antarctic surroundings, you can imagine how hardware and approaches very much like this could be used. In a sense, termites are like cells in your brain, all acting independently but interacting with each other, and out of that comes a higher intelligence. And in a similar kind of way, our robots are individuals, moving around independently with no central coordination, and together, hopefully, producing complicated structures. One spin-off piece of research has already been put into place. A Turkish group has been working alongside us to see if the way the robots and termites operate can actually be captured in a mathematical model to be used in future projects. It's a fascinating idea, and I believe there are similar studies with flocks of birds and shoals of fish. Now let me move on to...
Now you'll hear part 2 again.
Hi, I'm Jim, and together with colleagues, I've been attempting to create a group of robots that build things in the same impressive way that termites do. Termites are like large ants and build amazingly complex structures called mounds to live in. Unlike bees, termites don't receive instructions from their queen about what to do. In fact, a single worker doesn't know what the other termites are doing or what the current overall state of the mound looks like. This tells us that large numbers of units working independently can, paradoxically, build complicated large-scale things together. So, we decided to make and program what I like to call a colony of robots. Now, by giving the robots a picture of what we want them to build, and it doesn't matter how many of them there are or which robot does what, they do indeed end up building what they're asked for. The robots and termites both have very restricted sensing. A single unit can only tell what's going on right around itself. It's the same with communicating. Rather than communicating with one another directly, termites make alterations to their shared environment and others respond. One deposits some soil, for example, or half-eaten wood. Another one comes along later, and on seeing this, a reaction is triggered. We observed this and devised a similar system with the robots. Like termites, the robots often make errors. For example, trying to pick up a brick and failing. Rather than trying to prevent those errors, we give them enough feedback to help with the recognition and correction process, so they try again until they get it right. So they keep patrolling the structure, fixing only what needs fixing. I've demonstrated this in action several times in public presentations with one of our robots. It had to try to complete the structure I asked it to, in this case a staircase, and there was a block missing at the top. So it had to try and pick up building material from the loading area and walk up the structure until it discovered exactly what needed attention. In the long term, one day robots like this could build for us in inaccessible or dangerous settings, such as underwater or on Mars. In the shorter term, the same principle applies. So, for instance, if you wanted to position sandbags to protect against rising flood water or build in difficult Antarctic surroundings, you can imagine how hardware and approaches very much like this could be used. In a sense, termites are like cells in your brain, all acting independently, but interacting with each other, and out of that comes a higher intelligence. And in a similar kind of way, our robots are individuals, moving around independently with no central coordination, and together, hopefully, producing complicated structures. One spin-off piece of research has already been put into place. A Turkish group has been working alongside us to see if the way the robots and termites operate can actually be captured in a mathematical model to be used in future projects. It's a fascinating idea, and I believe there are similar studies with flocks of birds and shoals of fish. Now let me move on to...
That's the end of part two. Now turn to part three.